We're going to have some fun today, folks. There are some sermons that are exciting to preach. There are others that are quite challenging to share. And some sermons, well, some sermons are just downright scary to preach sometimes. And this is one of them. I have to be careful as I share this message today, as I preach this sermon, because as I look out upon all of you, I'm noticing that probably about half of you happen to be female. And so we'll see if we can get through this sermon unscathed. So I'd ask that you pray with me, and please pray for me today. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we're going to need a little help today. As we look into your word, as we seek out your truth, we want you to speak to us. Lord, we want you to guide us, to challenge us, to make us like you. So speak to us now is our prayer. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Let's see, I might need a little help with the projector here, and if someone would shut the, I hate to turn off the sunshine out there, but if we could shut the curtains there, and this might need to be switched to computer one, maybe. That'll help out a little bit. Well, let me see where I got plugged in. It says computer one. Don't you love technology? It's a great when it works. What do you think, Roy? What do we got here? Well, we preached sermons without PowerPoint before. Can we give it a try again? All right, we'll give it a try. I don't know. I suppose I could unplug it and plug it back in. I'm not an expert with these things. Oh, a little bit of patience. A little bit of patience. We get it? Ah. Oh. They say to err is human, but to really mess up, you need some computers or something along the way. We can go ahead and turn the lights back on. I don't want to put everybody to sleep. All right, thank you for praying. Willing to wait. As we begin this morning, let's ask this question. What is love? Can you give an answer for that? A quick answer? A quick explanation of something that has been written about for centuries. An answer for something that poetry has tried to grasp. Do you have an answer for something that has inspired the artist to sing time and time again? What is love? Years ago, I was confronted with this very question, and it was years ago. This was when I was in my senior year at high school, and as a senior, you're on the top of the world. You're at the top of the school. Everything is going great, and at this moment in time of this story, I was hanging out with my girlfriend of the time, and that girl's name was not Jeanette. Another reason why this is a bit of a scary sermon to preach. But no, it wasn't Jeanette. And me and this, my girlfriend, were hanging out. And she says something to me. She says three little words. Three simple words that snapped my attention back to, what did she say, what I thought she said? I know this will surprise some of you ladies, but we don't always listen as best as we should when you're talking. It's confession time. And so she was talking, and then all of a sudden she said something, and I, what? Did she say what I thought she just said? And then my brain kind of rewound, did she say it? And yes, I think she did. Three little words, I love you. And I thought, oh my, I love you. Three words that are oh so big, would you not agree? I thought, whoa, she loves me. What do I do? But what do I say right here? What do I do? So my brain began searching the databases of the past to figure out what was the correct move at this moment in time. And as my brain began looking back, what do I do? I thought, okay, wait. This wasn't the first time that a girl had told me that she loved me. Oh no, this had happened before. At recess, actually. To be more specific, it was kindergarten recess that a girl had run up to me and told me that she loved me and informed me that I was her boyfriend. I said, okay. I didn't know what to do there. I was busy playing. I wasn't sure At this moment in time there in kindergarten, I wasn't sure if I should hold her hand or pull her hair and run away. So I did the safer thing. I ran away. But now at this moment in time, I was 18 with my high school sweetheart looking at me, waiting. And I was pretty sure that pulling her hair was not the right move at this moment in time. So I said it. I love you too. And then I waited. Was that the right thing to say? And she smiled. And I said, whew, good answer. Okay. Because that's really what you want to hear when you say, I love you to someone. You do want to hear it back. I told my high school sweetheart, I love you. I mean, after all, I was 18. I knew what love was, right? She loves me. This girl loves me. That's cool. It's neat to be loved. I can get used to this. We were 18, and our love lasted about 6 months. And that summer, I broke up with her. And to be honest with you, it was a very nice breakup. It was very nice. I wasn't used to doing the breakup. It was typically, I was the one who got broke up with back then. Come on, what are you, heartless? I was the one who got, come on. My goodness, where's the love at today? No, but if I do say so myself, it was a very nice breakup. I let her, you know, very gently down, and we broke up. But after that, this girl who had told me suddenly was not too fond of me. Our love had changed into something else. I had heard that she'd been talking to some of my friends, and she told me, told my friends, who later told me, she told them that I was the worst thing that had ever happened to her. Again, thank you, yes. I know, the worst thing ever, where's the love at? Now, to be honest, I was no better. As soon as I found out that she was bad-mouthing me, I started talking trash about her, and it didn't end well then. So much for our teenage love. It didn't last. And it wasn't until I was well into my 20s that I began to understand what love was. And I'm in my 30s now, and I'm still learning about it. But what about you? How would you describe love? I believe we can answer that if we look into God's Word. Amen? So let's do that this morning. Turn with me to the beginning of the whole book. Genesis is where we're going to start today as we try to figure out the answer to the question, what is love? What's true love? Because at 18, what we had, I don't think was really what we would count as love. So let's go to Genesis chapter 3. And this is right at the beginning. This is right after Adam and Eve have sinned. They've eaten from the tree. They've made a real big mistake. And God comes and he's telling them what they've done and how they've messed up. Let's look at verse 15. God speaking to the serpent, he says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. As soon as there was sin, there was a problem. There was the promise to fix the problem. There was a promise of a solution. God says to them, in the future, I am going to fix this problem that you've caused. You see, God loved Adam and Eve, and he planned to fix things. But when was he going to fix things? Let's go to Genesis chapter 4 now, and let's see what happens there. After they have to leave the garden, chapter 4, verse 1 begins and says, Now Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Many of your Bibles are probably pretty close to that translation. I have acquired a man from the Lord. But literally, there in the ancient text, what she almost says is, I have acquired a man, the Lord. And so we get the idea right there that when she gave birth to Cain, she thought, this is it. Here is the one. This is the seed that God was talking about. Here is the one who's going to crush the serpent's head. Was Cain the seed that was going to destroy the serpent's power? Far from it. She thought, this is it. This is the answer. But God knew that the answer was going to take time. Adam and Eve's hopes were dashed when Cain wasn't the seed, but became the first murderer. Eve thought there was going to be a quick fix to this, and God knew it's going to take longer. So friends, what does this teach us about love? What does it teach us about true love? Because the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, that God is love. So what does it teach us about God and true love? It teaches us that true love is willing to wait. God is willing to wait on us. Now realize, friends, that He wants us back. God wants us to be with Him. Amen? But He says right there in the garden, I will wait. And He waits until we are ready for the Messiah. Eve thought Cain's going to fix the problem. He's the one. She had no concept of thousands of years passing before that promised Messiah would come. God was willing to wait until we were ready for the cross. The Bible says in the fullness of time, God sent His Son. And that doesn't mean the fullness of time that God was suddenly ready. But it's talking about this planet and us being ready. For God is willing to wait for us. Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, that the Lord is not slow about His promises, about the promise of His return. So even the promise of the second coming of Christ teaches us that God is willing to wait. He wants to be here right now. He wants you to be with Him, but He knows if I come, there's some not ready. So God is willing to wait. So think about your life for a moment. Have we left God waiting? Waiting for an answer. Waiting for a closer walk. Christ has said to you and me, I love you. Have we answered? And this morning I want us to think about not only God's love, but how are we doing on our love? In the face of God's true love, how are we doing on our waiting? Well, there's one saying that says, the waiting is the hardest part. And it really is. And this morning I hope that you realize we're going to be talking about all relationships. And I pray that what we learn about today will affect all our relationships, from family to friends to neighbors, children, coworkers. But we're going to talk specifically about one type of relationship. And hopefully what we learn there will apply across the board. But let's open our Bibles to our very fun scripture text that we had today. Go with me to Ephesians now, into the New Testament. And let's see just how much trouble Pastor Michael can get into today. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to start in verse 22, and we're going to try to figure out about how our love's doing. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 24. Paul writing here, and he says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in, ladies all together. That sounded like very deep voices for you ladies. In everything. Wow. That's another reason why this is a little bit of a scary sermon to preach. But what a loved-filled section of Scripture, amen? You can almost feel the love just radiating from the page as you read it. Counsel from God on how to make a marriage work. This is awesome. You have it right there in your hands. Why are some of you ladies frowning at me right now? Some of you have your arms crossed like this. What's going on? You don't like these verses? There was one time I was doing a Bible study with a young gal. I think she was about 14 or 15. And we were just getting started on Bible study, so I didn't know how open she would be with her pastor. But I shared with her these texts and stuff that Paul wrote about women. And I said, what do you think about that? What do you think about what God's word says there? She gave me the most honest answer I've ever heard in a Bible study. I mean, she didn't colorize it at all. She looked me straight in the eye. She said, Pastor, it sounds retarded to me. My goodness, what an honest answer. Not a good answer, but an honest answer. So in case any of you are thinking that, oh, this is not right, or you're ready to get some scissors out and do some divine editing to Paul, let's see if we can try to understand these verses. Now, I know there are some men out there who could quote these verses better than John 3:16. That is true. But let's see if all of us can understand what God's word is saying today. Are you ready? Just one of you ready. Are you ready, church? Let's find out. Okay, today, to find this out, we are going to have a little bit of congregation participation. All right? You are going to help preach the sermon today. Aren't you excited? All right, so we're going to try to illustrate these verses. Ephesians 5:22 to 24, that says, wives, submit to your husbands. Husband is the head of the wife. Wives, submit to your husbands and everything, okay? We're going to try to illustrate that. To do that, I need some, I would say volunteers, but I'm guessing it'll probably have to be draftees, really, that I will pick on. I need three married couples that are willing to help me illustrate husband is the head of the wife, wives, submit to your husbands and everything. So, let's see, who should, we do have the Gaskins right here in front of me. They said, I sat too close to the front. Malcolm and Furley, would you guys come up here and help me preach this sermon to everybody? Because there's a lot of confusion going on there. I can see there's question marks floating over their heads. So come up here. We're going to try to illustrate these verses, okay? So Malcolm, for couple number one, Malcolm, you're going to be up here on the top step, right up there. And Furley, we're going to have you right in front of Malcolm, but not on the top step, on the bottom step. And you can go ahead and turn around and look at everybody. So everyone get this picture. We're trying to illustrate. Husband, head of the wife. Wives, submit to your husbands and everything. So we've got the husband up here. Why are you smiling so big, Malcolm? My goodness.
I will pay for this.
You should see how big that smile was. So the husband up here and the wife down here. Does this illustrate it? Okay, that's couple number one. We need another couple, and you shouldn't just pick on people here in the front of the sanctuary. Sometimes it's good to go back a ways and to find somebody. And you know, why don't we go ahead and go with some newlyweds? That's a good idea. And there's Stephanie and Andy. Come up here, guys. You were up here before saying all your promises, so let's do this again. Come up here, and let's have you be couple number two. I was looking for you guys. I'm glad that you're here today. Come up here, Stephanie and Andy. None of these folks knew they were going to do this, so they're being very brave and helpful today. Hi, Stephanie. How are you? Okay, so couple number two, we're going to have you guys stand right here in front of the flowers, right on the same level, and go ahead and lock arms right there. Okay, so we're trying to decide which couple best illustrates. So here we've got couple number one, man on the top step, lady down below, wife down below. And here we've got husband and wife, same equal playing field, locked arms. Does everyone see that picture there? Okay. All right. So I tell you, this is going to be very painless for me. But actually, it's going to be safer being up here, Malcolm. You trust me on that. Now, why don't we're unbalanced here. We've got two couples. We might as well have a third couple for this. And so who should help us on this one? Oh, we've got Peter and Tammy sitting over here. Would you guys come up and help me? We need at least one more couple to come up and illustrate this. And I promise it's actually going to be safer being up here than out there in just a moment. So Tammy, Peter, you guys come up here. And just to balance things out, Tammy, let's put you as the wife on the top step. You had a little spring in your step there. Wow. All right. And Peter, we're going to have you as the husband down below. Okay? Now, everyone got our couples? Everyone understand? So now, I promised you guys it would be safer up here. Now, we're going to have the congregation out there vote as to which of you best illustrates these verses, okay? And you have to vote, all right? Don't be sitting on the sidelines now. So we're going to do two votes, actually kind of four votes. Men are going to vote first, then ladies. But the first vote we're going to do is not, again, not what you want it to be. We'll do that next. First, we're going to vote which you think best illustrates these verses. I'm going to read them again. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church and is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Okay, so gentlemen, we're going to let you vote first. Ladies, control yourselves. They're not voting what they want it to be. They're just voting what they think best illustrates these verses. So no elbowing, under, no rib busting today. They're just voting. So, gentlemen, you got three votes. How many of you say, look, not what I want it to be, but what I think best illustrates these verses? How many of you would say, and it's this couple here, couple number one with the gentleman on top and the wife down below. All right, we got some hands there. Okay, you can put your hands down. How many of you gentlemen say, no, it's this couple right here, level playing field, this is the one. Raise your hand if you think this is it. Okay, all right. And how many of you say, no, it's gentlemen just voting here, it's this couple over here with the wife on the top and the guy down below. And
I've got one vote.
You got one vote? All right, Andy. All right, how many say this one? Well, there's not a whole lot of hands going up there. Okay. All right, so that was what you didn't want it to be, but what you thought. So now, ladies, you're going to vote. Now, again, not what you want it to be. We'll get to that. But what you think best illustrates husband, head of the wife. Wives, submit to your husbands and everything. So, ladies, how many of you vote this couple right here? Gentlemen on the top, women down below, raise your hands, ladies. Okay, we see some hands. I see some hands. Okay, how many ladies say it's this one right here that best illustrates what Paul is trying to get across? Not what you want it to be, but what you think best illustrates. Okay, we got some hands. And how many of you ladies say, forget the first two couples, it's this couple over here with the wife on the top and the gentleman down below. How many ladies say, not too many votes over there. Just a couple, Tammy, just a couple. Okay, now, not what you think illustrates, so we're going to push Paul aside. What do you want it to be? Now it's just your choice, okay? Gentlemen, again, I typically believe in ladies first, but it's just funner to let the guys vote first today. So gentlemen, how many of you say, well, I want it to be this one right here? Gentlemen on the top, hands. Wow, not too many hands, Malcolm. Okay, how many of you gentlemen say, I want this one right here? Even playing field, we're all on the same. Oh, look at the hands go up. All right, gentlemen, how many of you, I'm getting my exercise today up and down these steps. Okay, how many of you say it's this one over here with the lady, the wife on the top, gentlemen down below? Gentlemen, not too many votes. Okay, now, ladies, last vote. Again, not what you think best illustrates, but what you want it to be. Okay, how many of you ladies vote over here? Say, this is it. Got a couple votes. How many of you ladies say it's our newlywed couple here? Even playing field, same level. All right, quite a few hands are going up there, Andy. All right, and now one last vote. How many of you ladies say this has got to be it over here with the woman at the top? Man, down below. Ladies, raise your hands. Oh, not too many votes. Okay, now, are you ready for the answer? One of these couples best illustrates, husband is the head of the wife. Wives, submit to your husbands in everything. And if we're honest with ourselves, folks, regardless of what we want, if we're honest, we have to admit that this couple number two does not illustrate these verses with them being on the same level playing field. I'm sorry for everybody who voted that. You say, why? Why is it not this? Aren't we created equal? Of course we are. Men and women created equal, both in the image of God. But God did say there's going to be a head, right? And he had to, because now you guys had just got married, so I know you never fight. You've never had a conflict, but someday, hypothetically, let's say you guys have a conflict and you're at odds as to what to do. So in this level, what do? It's like, well, it's a democracy. Let's vote on it. So, and then she says, well, I vote this way. What do you do? So God said, there's going to be a head. There's going to be a head. So even though God created men and women equal in this situation, he said there's going to be a head, so it's not this couple here. So you guys can go back and have a seat. Thank you for helping out today. But you know what, folks? If we're honest with things, most of our society today says this is the way we should do it. And if you look at the statistics, we got about half of marriages don't work, huh? This one doesn't work. We got to do it God's way. So which is God's way? Well, again, if we're honest with ourselves, husband is the head of the wife. Wives, submit to your husbands in everything. If we're truly honest with ourselves, we have to admit that the couple that does not best illustrate that is couple number one, with the husband at the top of the steps and the lady down below. It's not this couple. Now, if you look back through societies of the world, this has been the way most of the world has done it. Man dominant, what I say goes. Has it worked throughout the centuries? Not so much. So you guys were a wonderful help. Thank you for coming up. Before you leave, Malcolm, I do have a card here. I do marriage counseling. So if there's anything that you need, I'm there for you.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, how many of us are confused right now? You're saying, what in the world, Pastor, are you doing? Peter's confused even. Oh, okay. All right. Let me see if I can explain, because it's great to be confused at church, but we don't want to leave confused, okay? We'd like to leave with some clear light shining. So, what do you do when you've read something in the Bible and you've gotten confused by that part of Scripture? What should you do? Keep reading. And I was actually kind of tricky this morning. I didn't read the whole thing. I stopped you too quick. So I'm going to read it again, and I'm going to add a verse, and this is going to give us some light as to what's going on here. Ephesians chapter 5, we'll start in verse 24 and 25. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now here's the key verse, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. Love your wife just like Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? Let's look and see. You can keep a finger there in Ephesians if you want, but I want you to go to Philippians now. I haven't forgot about you guys. I'll let you go in a second. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. We're supposed to love our wives the same way Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? Philippians chapter 2, verse 8 tells us, and being found in the appearance as a man, he, that's Christ, humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. What did he do? Christ, who was above the church, he's God. What did he do? He got down below, humbled himself, became a man, sacrificed of himself, died on the cross. Why? To take his church, his bride, and to lift her up so that she could be the best she could be. That's how Christ loved the church. Amen? So gentlemen, we are called to be the head of the household. But don't puff your chest up too quickly. What does it mean to be the head? It means that the head will be the one who sets the stage for sacrifice, who sets the stage for love. And if a husband is willing, even though can stand above, but willing to get below his wife, sacrifice of himself to lift her up so that she can be the best woman of God that she can be. If he has that type of headship, does the lady have any problem submitting to his headship? No. Paul was not a chauvinist pig, folks. He was inspired by God to give us something that we don't have. We try it this way, doesn't work. We tried it this way for centuries and it didn't work. If we try it God's way, if we try it God's way, maybe that 50 percentile of divorces starts to go down. Does it make sense to you now? The husband sacrifices of himself, sets the tone as the head, and lifts his wife up. If he does that, she has no problem whatsoever saying, lead the way, because you started it. Thank you so much for helping. I'll let you guys go back and sit down. How's our love doing this morning? I know this is challenging. This is something that people haven't understood for years. But the husband is to love just as God loves. True love. And true love is willing to wait on the other. True love is willing to lift up the other. True love will sacrifice for the other. Do you see, friends, as Christians, married or not, this affects all our relationships, doesn't it? And if you read the rest of Ephesians there, he goes on and says this affects how you deal with your kids. It affects how you deal with employers. Or at that time, it was, you know, if you were a slave. And Paul says this exact thing in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. He describes love, and the first word he uses to describe love, he says, love is patient. Love is patient. Love is willing to wait. Marriages and relationships of all kind, parent to child, friends, they fail, friends, because we're not willing to wait on each other and we're not willing to sacrifice. And all of us have made that mistake. And that's why we can come to Jesus and His blood will cover our mistakes. And His Spirit can change us. We have to be willing to sacrifice. Because in life, as you walk down the road together, you take different speeds. At one point in time, one of you is going to get ahead of the other in your relationship. What do? God says you wait. You wait for the other one to catch up. There was a gentleman who walked across the United States from the Pacific Ocean, from the Atlantic Ocean to the Pacific Ocean. Walked all that way using his 2 feet. Nothing helped him, just walked it. When he finally got to the Pacific Ocean, the reporters swarmed around him and they asked, what was the hardest part? Was it when you were having to go over the mountains, walk through the mountains, or was it when you walked through the deserts? Or maybe was it when you got through the big cities? Was that the hardest part? He said, no, none of those things were the hardest part. They said, well, what was the hardest part? He said, simple, it was the sand in my shoes. You see, our relationships fall apart, not being dashed upon the giant rocks in the storm, but they're worn away by the endless battering of the tiny little pebbles, the tiny conflicts, the small things that can get so big. But my friends, when we're willing to wait, when we're willing to sacrifice, we can handle those conflicts that do come up. God has been willing to wait on humanity. He's been willing to wait on you and me. Are we willing to wait on the ones we claim to love? There's two more aspects of love that I want to do this morning to cover this completely. There's an old song lyric that I remember back from my radio days. The singer says, I want to know if love is wild, and I want to know if love is real. I thought, wow, what a true statement, even from a singer. I want to know if love is wild, and I want to know if love is real. Well, most of us discover rather quickly that love is wild, amen? We get that pretty fast. It's the romantic fireworks that go off, right? It's when you're falling in love and you're talking on the phone all night. You're like, why am I doing this? I should be sleeping. I have to get up for class or for work. But you do it. You can't explain it. It's because love is wild. At least it should be at first. But some of us make the mistake of forgetting that it's okay for our love to stay wild. Amen? And it's not just music that tells us that. It's the Bible. If you want to look with me real fast, Proverbs chapter 5, verse 18. Again, not a text that we use a whole lot in scripture preparation, but Proverbs chapter 5, verse 18. Proverbs, wise sayings. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 18 says, let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. As a loving deer and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times and always be enraptured with her love. God says it's okay to stay wild and to be crazy in love. I remember one time when I was at Union College. I got done with the class and I went out, was going out to my car to drive home. And I got to my car and I found my car completely filled with balloons. Completely filled. And I unlocked it and I opened it up. Balloons are trying to fall out. And I get in there and there's taped on the steering wheel as a card. I open it up and it's from Jeanette. And she says, start popping, and every message, I truly mean it. So there's a little safety pin. I pop the first balloon, and there's a little message inside, and I open it up, and it says, I love being your wife. Oh. And I pop the next one, and she says, I love your hair. Oh. And I pop the next one, and says, you're such a great cook. Oh. And then I pop the next one, and says, you really have no laundry skills. No, it didn't. Say that, I'm just teasing. But it's true, I don't. But I popped all those balloons and every message just made me, wow, talk about wild, crazy love. Don't be afraid to be a little wild, amen? Because, folks, God's love for humanity is wild, is it not? You think love causes us to do some crazy things? Think about the wild and crazy things that God has done for us because he loves us. He became human. It doesn't get any more crazy than that. That's how much God loves us. That's how wild his love is. So love is wild. We can see that. But is it real? You see, my love at age 18 wasn't real. I felt something, but it didn't last. It wasn't real. What does it mean for love to be real? Well, folks, for love to be real, it has to be based on something. We have to be real with our feelings. Let's look at it this way. There's a guy who proposes to his girlfriend, and he says, "Will you marry me?" And like all you ladies, the tears come. And she says, "Yes, yes, I'll marry you. I'll spend the rest of my life with you." He says, "Thank you so much. Let's get married, and let's be married 5 days a week." But on the weekend, let's see other people. And how many of you ladies would say, "Oh, 5 days out of seven, that's great"? No. So what are you talking about? She says, "No way, that would never work. You can't do that." He says, "Well, why not? Who says we can't do that?" And she says, "Well, the Bible for one." "Oh, come on," he responds. "Where does it say that?" She says, "Well, in God's law, it says no adultery. When you're married, you stay with that one person." He says, "Whoa, whoa, whoa. Let's not get all legalistic here on me. This is New Testament times. Jesus has come to do away with all those old laws," right? He says, "Now we are free. As Christians, we can cheat, steal, lie, cuss, do everything we want. Jesus died to get rid of all those rules." What do you think? No, no, no. Don't take my word for it. Let's ask Jesus. John 14, verse 15, Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And then I love this verse in 1 John. I don't have it memorized like that one, but 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. Let's take a look at that one. In the back of your Bibles, right in front of Revelation, you find books of John. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. Love this verse. "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." That's the love of God. That's real love, folks. You see, God's love is real. It's based on something. Your love for others has to be based on something. You have to tell your spouse, you have to tell your children, your friends, how to love you, how to have a relationship with you. Your love for God must be real too. And he tells us how to love him in his law. And Jesus says it's not legalistic, it's love that motivates us. Amen? Friends, God's love is real. It's wild. And it's willing to wait. What about us? Are we willing to be real and follow God? Are we brave enough to be wild and patient enough to sacrifice and wait for the other person to catch up when they fall behind? I asked earlier if God was waiting on any of us. Well, friends, the surest way for your love to be wild and real and willing to wait is to allow God to start loving you first. My friends, stop making Jesus wait. If you want to change in your relationships, if you want to change in your love, let Jesus Christ in your heart. For the greatest power in the world to change, the greatest power to change this world is not found in politics. It is not found in military might. Friends, the greatest power to change is not even found in the ministry. The greatest way to change our relationships, the greatest way to change our world is love. And when you read the context of 1 Corinthians 13, that wonderful love chapter, the beginning of it, Paul says, you can have all the gifts of ministry, all of them, but if you do not have what? Love. You have nothing. You're a noisy gong, clanging cymbal, if you don't have love. Friends, without love, without true love, we can do nothing. But we are Christians. We are called by God, charged by God to change our world. And friends, it starts. It starts and it ends with our love. So by God's grace, let's love real. Let's love wild. And let's be willing to wait. Almighty Father in heaven, precious Lord Jesus, this morning we are challenged by your love, by your grace, by what you have done, because you have told us to love like you love. So Lord, we still need a little help. We need you in our hearts. We accept the Holy Spirit into our hearts today to make us what we can't make ourselves, to change us into your image, that we might love the way you do. In Jesus' name we pray. And all those willing to be real, wild, and to wait said, Amen. God bless you.